This morning, our Bible reading will be taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 to 17. It's in the New King James Version, page 1123. Page 1123. If you are there, say amen. Chapter 6, verse 14 to 17. Stand therefore, having gathered your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery dust of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which of the word of God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. When I had the great privilege and honor of being a student at Denver Seminary in Colorado, after a long day of being in the class and after working on the campus in the afternoon on the maintenance team, which I absolutely loved doing, in the evenings I had often the chance to go for a walk. I took a little car that we had, and I went down to a lake near the city of Denver, and I used to walk around the lake, and I had one of those old Walkmans. You remember those Walkmans with, it had a radio and one of those old cassette tape things? Kind of dates us. I used to put on the radio, and every evening at that time, as the sun, well, depending what time of the year was, but in the sunset, I used to listen to a wonderful program that was broadcast in America called Insight for Living. And it was rich, and it was strengthening, and it was an important time. And I'll always remember in those evenings, there were certain teachings that came, and over the decades remain with me. And one of those evenings, I remember as if it was yesterday, the message which was entitled, Facing Your Giants. Facing Your Giants. And I'll share that as well as I remember it, because I really believe that sometimes when we go back to the old, well-worn stories, the stories we grew up with in Sunday school, those stories remain today for us a message of encouragement, a message of strength, a message of help. And we do well to go back and remind ourselves of what God is teaching us. And 1 Samuel chapter 17 is such a story, such a passage. And when we think about giants, it's easy for us in a way to see a giant that is invaded or is strolling over somebody else's patch, somebody else's life, and feel a certain empathy for them, a certain sympathy for them. But that giant doesn't really worry us that much, except for perhaps our concern for what is going on over there. But when the giant approaches our own doorway, we begin to step back And even worse, when he enters the doorway and comes into our home and living space, his presence becomes more and more domineering. And even more sinister, when the giant invades our head and is able to get into our mind and our head and intimidate us inside our thinking and our psyche, we begin to get overwhelmed by the giants that we face. Giants always seem more impressive, more intimidating, more frightening in the valley. And it's significant as the story begins to unfold that the Philistines had come into Judah, to Zophos, a place that belonged, the Bible says in verse 1 of 17, to Judah. They had no business being there, but they came anyway. And they brought with them a giant. And then we read that Saul and the men and the people of Israel went to the valley of Elah, and they camped, and they made their camp in the valley of Elah. And immediately you begin to realize that there is something about the valley that is beginning to dominate or beginning to set the stage, if you will, for what is about to happen. And then we see that what would happen is that on the one side of the valley in the mountains, on the hillsides, the Philistine army would line up and they would chant and shout and intimidate God's people, Israel. Israel, with King Saul and his men, would line up on the other side of the valley. And then we read, into the middle of the valley came a champion. He is called that more than a few times in the passage. And we see that this champion is almost 10 feet tall. We also see that he is covered in armor from head to foot. And we also realize that he's got a booming, frightening, intimidating voice. And this giant enters into the valley, and in the valley, what happens is he looks even more daunting, more intimidating, and more frightening. Giants do well in our lives when we enter the valley and when we are in places of hardship and brokenness. The giants are more frightening there, more intimidating there. And we know those giants. Some of those giants have names like anxiety, pain, brokenness, tension, disease. Some of those giants are overwhelming in so many ways. And one of those giants would be the giant of fear. And God realizes that, and he knows that. And in Psalm 46, verse 1, he reminds his people Israel that when you are in the valley and when the giant of fear is coming upon you, look to the Lord. The Lord will be with you there. He will not leave you alone in the valley. He will be with you there, a real presence there. And in that valley, what will happen is, we will begin to overcome fear. We shall not fear when we look to the Lord and not to the giant. But it's very difficult and it's very hard. And we see too that it's not something that is an easy fix. There's sometimes no easy answers to the struggles we find ourselves in. This giant would come down every morning and he would taunt and he would threaten and he would mock the people of God. And he would taunt them. And then again, we read he would do the same in the evening. So the whole day, they would be living in fear and trembling of this giant. And the giant say, come on, come and fight me. Come and let's see what will happen. And if you fight me, whoever wins will dominate the other, and the other will serve me. And in his confidence and in his arrogance, he shouts out in the morning, and he intimidates the people of God. And then by the time they're perhaps recovering and trying to overcome and get over what's happened in the morning, again in the evening he comes out. Perhaps as the evening sun is shining and perhaps catching his armor. And in the evening before night falls, he does the same thing. He shouts at the people. He taunts them. He tells them how ridiculously pathetic they are and how useless they are. And they're feeling useless because they're failing in this situation. And they're feeling useless because they're saying, where is our faith? How can someone come and taunt Israel? And they're feeling broken and hurt and overwhelmed by the giant. And for 40 days, the giant does this. And that's what happens when giants intimidate us. They stay involved. They don't walk away. They keep pushing us down. They keep wanting to destroy and hurt and break. And they become more and more intimidating, more and more frightening. And they get set in the situation, and it becomes more and more difficult. And it's at that time that God begins to stir. God begins to try and break this dominating giant that is intimidating Israel. And 10 miles to the east of where they are, near a little village called Bethlehem, we read and are reminded that there is a family and a father called Jesse. And he goes out early one morning and he catches his little son, his youngest son, who's out tending the sheep. And he says to him, here, I've got some food. Go to my brothers. Go and get this bread to them. Go and get this food to them. And come and bring me news. What's going on? Why is this? There's something wrong. Something's broken. Something's wrong in Israel. I can feel it. Go and find out. Bring me news of what's happening with the Philistines. And so David goes off and he goes looking for his brothers. We see in David somebody who is eyes are focused on God, who is in a very real sense the other champion in the story. Not called the champion, but he is God's champion. And we see that in David, there is a young man whose eyes are fixed on God, whose heart is fixed on God, whose trust is embedded in God. And as he comes to the situation and he sees what is going on and he speaks to his brothers and he says, what's happening? He hears this giant of intimidation shouting and taunting the children of Israel. And David says, who is this uncircumcised dog, this Philistine, who would dare come and challenge God's church, God's Israel? Who is this? Who are you? And people said, anyone who can deal with this will be blessed by the king, will have great honor. David says, how dare he taunt God's people? And I think what we learn from that is there will be at times when we are overwhelmed, when we are hurting, when we are struggling and are feeling intimidated, and the giants are lining up against us. What we do know is this, that God won't leave us alone in the valley with the giants. He will stir. He will bring, he has his people to come and pray alongside us and encourage us and help us and strengthen us. You won't leave us alone to perish there. And in this case, it's the most unlikely person. It's the youngest of all the brothers, a shepherd boy who has never seen battle, but who cannot, whose heart is on Christ, whose heart is on the Lord. The Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. And we thank God for the Davids that can come alongside us when we are hurt and broken, and lift us up. Well, David says, I can't tolerate this. And he says, I can't let this happen. I cannot allow my God to be humiliated like this anymore. And they go to Saul and they say, Saul, we've got this young guy. He wants to go and take on the giant. And Saul calls him up and he says, you're so young. And we know he comes, he's considered young and handsome and strong. And Saul looks at him and he says, you've never had a sword in your hand and fought anybody. How can you do it? And he says, no, Saul, no, king. He says, it's not like that. He said, when I was in my valley, when I was alone and the sheep who were under my care were attacked by the bear and by the lion, I didn't leave my sheep to be destroyed by these creatures. I went after them. I went looking for them and I found them and I killed them. We wouldn't know that except for that verse. And the only reason David is saying that is he's saying it because he's saying, look, I am qualified. He said, I took the lion. I held the lion by his mane and I cut it to death. I put it down. He said, this Philistine is nothing compared to the lion that I took out. And I will now go and take him out like I took those bears, that bear and that lion out. He said, I have got the confidence because the same God who delivered me from the bear and the lion will only now deliver me from this Philistine. He goes. Saul says, come. He says, least I can do is give you my armor, the best armor in the land, the armor that will protect you against this giant. And they cover the little shepherd boy with the king's armor. And he starts and he finds he can't even walk straight. The armor is hindering him. And it's not his sword. And he's never tested the armor. And he knows that to go out with the king's armor would be a mistake. Because this is, I think, the point. This is the point. The point is he understands that the armor of God is not physical. It's not external. The armor of God is the coat of grace that God wraps around us when we kneel in brokenness at the foot of the cross. It's the coat of grace that reminds us of what the truth is when we've got nowhere else to be. It's the coat of grace that brings healing when we need God's healing and no one else can give it to us. So he says, King, take your armor. It's not the excitement of the church. It's not the great events that we do. It's not these are good things. Yes, we know. To reach people. Yes, we know. But it's not these things that are going to help you. It's only the grace of God wrapped around me as I seek his forgiveness and love at the foot of the cross that will be my armor this day. And so he goes. If you've ever come with us on our Bible college outings to the British Museum, you'll remember the stones that they found from this period that were used for the slings. And you'll see that, you'll remember, those of you who've seen it, that they look like cricket balls, but a little bit smaller. And he went and he knelt down and he found five smooth pebbles And in that sense, in that picture, we don't know what he was thinking, but I believe that in humbleness, he knelt down, he prayed. He knelt down and he prayed. As he picked up those stones, I'm confident that he did. And that reminds us that we've got to go back to that place. Before we fight the giant, let's go back and pray. Let's get back on our knees. By God's grace, we will find the stones we need to take up the giants. And then, from a place of kneeling, he rises and he walks into the situation. And we know that very quickly the battle unfolds. They shout at each other, and giant taunts him and tells him that he's going to kill him and fix him. And David says, I'm coming to you in the name of God. This day I will take you in the name of God. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to get back to God. And we've got to fight the battle in God's name. God fights the battle. It is God who makes a way when there is no way. It is God who will strengthen our hands for that. And then in that situation, at that point, in that place, David runs at him, takes one stone, slings it between his helmet and his face mask. That pebble goes straight in and brings him down. David runs over to him, grabs his sword, the giant sword. David had no sword. He said, you come at me with javelin and spear and sword. I come at you in the name of the living God. And without a sword, he takes the giant sword and cuts off his head. That was a long time coming. 40 days, 40 nights of intimidation. 40 days or 40 nights of fear and overwhelming situation. 40 days and 40 nights of brokenness. And now, when the champion, God's champion, who has gone back to the basics of prayer and looking to God, has engaged, the giant is finished and is no more. I don't know what the giant is. Fear, overwhelming brokenness, I don't know what it is. But let's get back there. Let's put on the coat of grace. Let's kneel down and let's go back into the battle, this time not with the armor of arrogance, the armor of our own strength, but let's go in Christ's strength alone and say, God, in you can we do this. And then we read that David, don't lose this, he goes back to his tent, and in his tent he takes the armor, the sword of the giant and the giant spear, and he takes his javelin, and he takes it back to Jerusalem, and then he goes to his tent, and he keeps the giant's armor, and he puts it in the tent. And if you look carefully, you'll see that he doesn't put it in the tent by itself. What else is in the tent? The lion's paw and the bear's paw. Don't lose that. When God gives us victories, remember them. They strengthen us for the next battle. Even though that battle might be a giant that threatens to overwhelm us, remember the bear and the lion that went before us. And now let's go and face this giant together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm going to continue now as we close, and the worship team will come now and lead us in worship as we close.